After all that, let's get into our lesson this morning, 2 Corinthians chapter number 5. We've been going through this right path series, and you say, the right path, you know, it's important that you're on the right path. I've told you at the beginning, it's very, very frustrating to be driving and going and going and going, and you get to the wrong spot. You ever done that before? Think you're headed the right way. You got the right directions. That happened to me a couple months ago. My brother was up in Virginia Beach. We were supposed to meet somewhere. He gave me his new address. I typed in the new address. I typed in the address of wherever we were supposed to go. And me, because I'm busy and my sons are there, we're always getting there usually right on time. We got there right on time to the wrong location. So we were there and we went to his house instead of the location because they were both typed in a GPS. And one of the three of us pushed the wrong button. I don't know who it was, but I don't really want to take the blame, but it probably was me for not checking. But it's frustrating. You get there and you're there and you've done it. You think you arrived and you realize it's not where you're supposed to be at all. I think that happens in our Christian lives sometimes. So, you know, we work. And then it's like, this isn't where God wants me to be. This isn't who God wants me to. It's not what the Bible says. I don't see God work. I don't see God move. I don't see God's fruit. I don't see the peace. I don't see those fruits of the Spirit that, you know, can be produced in our love. Love, joy, peace. Love. I don't have any of that, but I'm doing all these things. It's because we're on the wrong path sometimes. Yeah, don't get me wrong. We're all on our way to heaven if we believe and trust in Jesus Christ. It's not about our works at all. But are we where we're supposed to be headed? What is God's plan for our lives? So we've learned about the right heart, the pure in heart. We learned about the right conscience, void of offense toward God and toward man. We learned about the right purposes. Last week, we learned about the right passions. And now this is going to be another P here. And you're going to say, well, that sounds just like the other ones. Well, once you have a purpose, then you get passionate about it. And then you have to set the right priorities. You have to have the right priority. So I would like to look at God's priorities today and what God says we should make a priority. But before we get to that spot, let's go ahead and read these verses. These are great verses of the Bible. I guess really they're so rich and so deep, you could spend a few weeks looking at them. But we're going to look at this topical way and the idea of having the right priorities in our life. 2 Corinthians chapter number 5, verse 14, "For the love of Christ constraineth us, that because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead." So Paul is speaking here. He has a passion. It's the love of Christ. It's Christ's love that he showed and demonstrated to us because of everything he's done for us. Also, that makes us love him. That constrains us. That holds us back from doing certain things, but also pushes us forward to do others. Let's keep on going. "And he that died for all," and once again, it's great. You know, if he had to die for the sins of the world, then everybody's dead. I mean, it's for God so loved the world, you know. So he's saying, look, here's the reasoning here. If Christ had to die for all, then that means everybody needs him. Verse 15, "And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again." So if he died for me, then I should not live unto myself, should not live for myself. I should be living for the one who died for me. And so he says, we shouldn't be living unto ourselves. We should be living for him. And I think all of us would agree with that. But the question is, what does it mean to live for him? And that's why we got to get the right heart, the right conscience, the right purpose, and the right passions. And that's why we're looking at the right priorities, what the Bible says should be a priority in our life. Verse 16, "Wherefore henceforth know we no man after the flesh, yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more." And then verse 17, that really familiar verse, "Therefore if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." So that means we have a new spirit that lives within us, in a sense, a new heart. And things of the past should not have the same attractions. Things are different now. There should be a change in our life once we become a believer. "And all things are of God who have reconciled." That word reconciled, we're going to talk a little bit about today. It's talking about repairing your relationship. When Adam sinned in the garden, there was a separation from God because of that sin. And now Jesus Christ came to this world to repair that relationship, to reconcile that relationship. And that's what he's saying here. "And all things are of God who have reconciled us to himself." And who did that? By Jesus Christ. "And have given to us," talking about a group of us, "the ministry of reconciliation." So he came and he reconciled us back to God. Now it's our responsibility to tell men about that ministry of reconciliation. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and have committed unto us the word of reconciliation. So, you know, he's talking about who? God was in Christ. Christ was God, the Son of God, part of the Trinity. He was reconciling the world unto himself. Once again, he's in God and he is God. So he's reconciling unto his world. So he's not just reconciling to the Father. He's reconciling the world unto himself. And then it continues on. And how does he do this? Not imputing their trespasses unto them. He says he's paying their price so that their sin will not be upon them anymore, and have committed unto us the word of reconciliation. No longer are we responsible now to take care and pay for our own sins. Now we have the responsibility, and that's the word of reconciliation. That's to tell the world about how Christ restored the relationship to fallen mankind. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you, and Christ said, be reconciled to God. So as ambassadors, we represent him, and we are telling them to people to be reconciled unto God. For he have made him to be sin for us, and he gives an explanation here. He made him, talking about Christ, to be sin for us who knew no sin. So Christ didn't die for him because of his sin. He knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. So he took our sin and put it upon Christ. He took Christ's righteousness and put it in us. Yeah, some wonderful scriptures, some wonderful verses, and some wonderful things that we could learn from there. But today we're going to look at the right priorities. You know, sometimes we have to come to this realization if I have the right heart, the right conscience, the right purpose, the right passion, you know, my life is not about me. My life is about God. And even though I might be passionate about being a nurse, a doctor, a carpenter, a police officer, whatever it is that we do, that is not my purpose here in this world. My purpose here in this world is not to care about the things of this world more than I care about God. I am not defined by what position I hold. But what he's saying here is our right priorities is God's given us a new purpose for life. When we get into this world and we understand that Christ saved us, he reconciled us, he restored that relationship once again, he's given you a new purpose. He's giving you a new reason for living. He's giving you something now that is different than before. Before you were saved, you know, your reason for being here was maybe for, in your mind, enjoyment, or for your family first and foremost, or maybe for your career first and foremost, or other things. But once you became saved, he gave you a whole brand new purpose that is greater than any other purpose you have. And that's why we got to think of the priorities here. In these verses, I think there's some things we can see. Paul got some things really interesting. He made these things imperative. You say, what does the word imperative mean? It means of a vital importance. Paul, we learn from scriptures and we see scripture. Paul was he had the good heart most of the time, obviously. And he was the one that we talked about when we talked about the right conscience. And he was the one that had talked about even the right purposes and the right passions. He had it. He figured it out beforehand. He thought his purpose in this world was to keep the Jewish religion pure and to keep all the Christianities and kill them all. He got saved and he had new purpose in his life. He had no new reason instead of killing the Christians. And now he wants to live for God and see people win to Christ. And he had a couple of imperatives in his life. And the first thing I want you to think about in his imperatives is found in verse number 14, for the love of Christ constraineth us. His first vital part of his life was that he never got over the fact that the Son of God personally died for him on the cross for his sins. He never got over this. The problem is many times we get over it. These two things gripped his heart. These two things gripped his mind. He said, you know what? Because Christ died for me and he died for all, you know what? All are lost. And we have been given this ministry of reconciliation. And it gripped his heart and said, you know, he loves me. He loves me. And he went out and he lived his life saying, God loves me. Christ loved me. He never got over the fact he'd been saved. Now, let's be honest. There are people out there who's gotten over that fact. Unfortunately, probably some of us in this room aren't as excited about it as we once were. You ever remember that first time it clued into you and connected when you got saved, that burden that was lifted off? I know some people have tears. Some people jump up and run around. Some people are just very solemn about it. But we understood something, that we were sinners and we had a need and Christ died for us and he loved us. And we should never get over that. We should never get over what he's done for us. We should never lose what, and that's what Paul's saying. This is what constrains me. What Christ did for me. Some people look at that verse and they talk about the love of Christ, my love for Christ. That constrains me. No. It's Christ's love for me makes me want to love him. And that stops me from doing certain things and makes me want to do other things. This was vital for him. And if we're going to have the right priorities, let's look at this as the first imperative. He loved me and he saved me. Because he loved me and because he saved me, I don't want to get over it. Paul's life never failed to reflect joy he still had for his salvation. He was compelled to even hazard himself because of his love for Christ. He never let certain things stop him. He never had the desire to stop for the Lord, or at least he never acted on it. An understanding of God's love and an understanding of God's grace and understanding that Christ did for us on that cross. That's why there's verses, you know, about the old rugged cross or when I survey the wondrous cross. Those are things. Keep on going back to the cross. Keep on going back. You see it there. You see him dying. You see him loving you. You see what he did for me. Many of us have gotten over it. You know, we can sing, you know, the old rugged cross and not mean anything to us. We can read the passages of scriptures that talk about him dying on the cross and not affect us because we've gotten over it. It's not shiny to us anymore. You know what? Paul says, you know, it's the love of Christ constraining of us. If we're ever going to get the right priorities, we have to have this first vital thing grip our heart. He loves me. Second thing is, not only did Paul look at that as an important thing, but Paul also looked at the fact that he was put into a ministry. Another thing Paul never got over was that he had been saved, but God had also given him a personal ministry. And we see these verses here that he talks about, and he's talking about the word of reconciliation, the ministry of reconciliation. He's talking about we are ambassadors. So he says, not only did he love me so much that he saved me, he's given me a job to do. And that's what he said. This is how he scheduled his life. His priorities were based off of, number one, he loved me and I want to love him. Secondly, he's given me a job to do. He's given me a ministry to do. What is that ministry that he's given us to do? What is it that God wants us to do in our priority? What does God want us to place first and foremost? And obviously, it's love the Lord our God with all our heart, all our mind, all our soul, all our strength, all those different things. But in his word, does he give us a ministry to do? Many Christians have forgotten the purpose of being born again. We talked about declaring his glory. We talked about bringing fruit. And our purpose should be to glorify Christ by letting him tell us what he wants us to do. A little story told about a little elementary girl who liked to carry a purse to school because her friends did. And there's a bunch of things that she wanted to get important things in her purse. And so she would take pencils, pens, and things like that. But she was always more impressed with what her friends had in the pocketbook. So she had in her mind that one day I'm going to get something really, really important. And she went over and she looked inside her mom's desk. She wasn't supposed to look into. And she looked through the drawers and she found something with her name on it. And it said a birth certificate. She didn't really know what it was. She takes it and puts it inside her purse and carries it to school. And then someone explained to her what it meant. And then she's out there at recess time and she's showing her all her friends. And a gust of wind comes up and lifts it right out of her hand. She goes chasing it. Anytime it seems like that, you know, if you stand there and you look at it, it doesn't move. But you take a step towards it, it starts flying away. It's flying away from the little girl. She can't get to it. And then she gets to the fence of the playground and it goes over the fence and keeps on flying. She starts crying. Obviously, she's upset. And then the maintenance guy comes by and says, what are you crying for? And she said, I just lost my excuse for being born. And that's the way she looked at it. It was her excuse for being born. But then I wonder how many Christians have lost their excuse or their reason why they were born again. Why were we born again? Why did he save us? There should be a change in our life. There should be something different that we want to do. And once again, he has given us, and that's what Paul is saying here, the love of Christ constraineth me. Now, he has given me a ministry, and that ministry is one of reconciliation. That ministry is one of the word of reconciliation. So there's some things here I like to look at today, and let's look at things as a priority. I don't want anybody to think I'm being ugly or mean, but you know, in the word of God, there's some priorities that should be in our life that I think a lot of us struggle with. You say, well, no, I got the priority. I got this first, this first, this first. Well, let's look at what God says should be a priority. Let's think about the priority of ministry. a priority in ministry. And I know what some of you are saying, I got a lot of things to do. I can't really be a minister. I think everyone should be a minister. I think everybody should be not a preacher in a sense, because I know, but everyone can be transferring the word of God to somebody else. Everyone can be teaching someone else. Everyone can be learning. So the priority of ministry, look what it says in verse number 19. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, but have committed unto him, us the word of reconciliation. The word of reconciliation. So the priority of ministry revolves around the teaching and sharing of the word of God. The priority of ministry is the word of God. If we are saved, we should want to be involved in ministry. Now, I don't want to get you wrong. There's nothing wrong. There's a lot of things that I do that are acts of service. There's a lot of things I do around here that does not involve teaching or preaching. There are a lot of things that people, when we talk about cleaning, which is so important, when we talk about setting up for cantatas and things like that, it all is based off the fact around the word of God. So what do you mean? Why do we clean the building? So it look nice. Why do we want the building to look nice? So people will come hear the word of God. If it doesn't have the word of God in it, if it's not trying to get people to the word of God, it's not trying to help people understand the word of God, then it's not ministry. Now, there's other things that are not bad. There's not things wrong with fellowship, but if we are not putting it around the word of God, it is not ministry. Do people have a ministry of cleaning? Yeah, you can call it that, but it's more of active service. But why do we do those things? It's so we can be a part of people hearing the word of God. So we can be a part of making sure. So I want you to understand, when I'm not looking down anyone who cleans or anyone who cooks or anyone who ministers in that way, the acts of service, those are so important. Those are so many things that are needed. But in the New Testament, when they talk about the word ministry, they're talking about a Christian teacher. You say, well, that leaves me out. See, I don't think it does. I think the vision that God has for the church is for everyone to be out sharing the word with other people, and everyone to be teaching someone else also. Say, now, I know some people are younger Christians. Some people are not where they need to be out there trying to preach yet, but there is always something we can share, which is our testimony. But upon that, many of you have been saved for many years. You know, we should be sharing and transferring the word of God to someone else. Now, I'm not talking about finding your favorite passage in Scripture and beating somebody over the head with it. You need to do this, this, this. No, that's not what I'm talking about. But I am talking about letting and learning the Word of God and understanding the Word of God and then passing that along to someone else, teaching that to someone else. And I think that's what we're talking about here. He has given them the Word of God must have the priority inside of a church. Many Christians are doing good deeds. Many times they let these good deeds become a novocaine to their soul and a substitute for actually sharing the Bible with someone else. Now, once again, services are really, really important. Acts of services are key, is what keeps the ministry going. But it's not a reason why we should not share the Bible with someone else. But Pastor, I can't do that. We should be learning the Bible so we can. Now, to be honest with you, sometimes I look at somebody, I look around and I've been praying and I ask the Lord, I says, well, this individual over here maybe needs a friend. They need someone who can encourage them in their walk. They need someone who can love the Lord and teach them one-on-one or teach them a little bit. And I'll go to somebody and say, hey, can you pray about trying to help this person in their walk with the Lord? There are certain people I just won't ask. Say, why? Because they're not ready to teach. There's some people that have the wrong attitude to ask that for. And once again, I don't pick and choose people. I let the Lord lead and guide that. But there's some things, and I don't want everybody to learn everything from me. I'm not saying I'm perfect. That's far from the, but at the same time, would you be someone that we should ask to teach somebody else? See, ministering means that we should be investing in other people's life, teaching and growing other things. And once again, if you try to find the perfect person, try to be the perfect person, you're never going to do it. You're going to use that as an excuse. But there are things that we allow to come into our lives that we think are so important, and there's sins and other things we don't want to get right that takes us off that, you know what, because of my attitude or because of my faithfulness or because of my sin, I can't do it. But that's not, why did God save us? He saved us so we can have the transfer of the word of God to someone else. He given his word. I think it's a dream of every pastor that a member grows as a minister of the word of God. faithfully leading others to Christ, faithfully teaching someone else about Christ, teaching others also. I know not all of us are the brightest or smartest. I tell you all the time, I don't think I'm the smartest guy in the world. I think I'm kind of dumb when it comes to certain things. I don't remember things as well. I just, God didn't give me some of those gifts of a great mind. Some people have that. You don't need that. We're going to learn about the power of the ministry here in a little while. But are we transferring the knowledge we have, the right things, to somebody else? We should be. We should be investing in someone else. He did not save us to be able to just sit by ourselves and not do anything. What did the Bible talk about? He gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. You remember the verses? Yeah, he gave all those things, but why did he give those things? Anybody remember the scripture? It's for the perfecting of the saints, for the maturing of the saints. Does he want the pastor or all those other people, the teachers, to teach them something so that way they just keep it to themselves? No, it's so we can transfer that to somebody else. Discipleship always involves in aiding other people. It always involves acts of service and the idea that a disciple to a discipler is going to be learning and growing. But you invest in someone else's life, and we can serve God in many ways that do not understand the complete understanding of the Bible. We can organize and we can do other things. But ministry here in the New Testament, what Paul's talking about here is saying, I want to transfer what I've learned about God to somebody else. I want someone to say, Pastor, I can never do that. If you learn it, you can, and you express it to somebody else. That's why I think discipleship's important. I think talking with someone one-on-one after they get saved, or even if they haven't been saved, next year it's on my docket of teaching. We're going to go through a discipleship course as a Sunday school class. Well, that way you can teach somebody else also. It's going to have a certain book to it to where you can go through, and that everyone in this class would be able to, if they were willing and if they had the right spirit and the right testimony, they could go to somebody else, anybody else, and say, hey, look, this is something about the Bible. Can I go through this with you? And it's something that's important because we're supposed to be teaching that to other people. Well, I don't know about this. I don't know that we have to learn those things so we can transfer that. So you say, Pastor, that seems like it's too hard and too tough. That's not what God's called me to do. You know, he tells us to teach others also. He shows us here that he's given us, what does it say? A ministry of reconciliation at the end of verse number 18. At the end of verse number 19, he hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Verse number 18 at the end, have given to us the ministry of reconciliation. All those other things, and once again, my time is taken up by a lot of those things. A lot of your times are taken up by these things of service. And those are all good things. They're all important things. They make keep the church going. But he's saying what God's given to us is a ministry of reconciliation. What is that? Telling others. And what is that telling we're supposed to do? It's the word of reconciliation. I have people that come up and encourage me with the word of God, and they show me things and they tell me things, and they're transferring the things that they have learned, and they're transferring the things that they have grown in. They're showing me, and I love that. We're transferring one another. But also, we should be transferring those things to somebody else. We should be pouring our lives into somebody else. I want to be better at that. I hope that you do too. Are you sharing the word of God with anybody? Not with a thought or a pattern of, I'm going to make a proselyte of myself or a disciple of myself. No, we're trying to make a disciple of Jesus Christ. We're trying to restore. We're giving them the ministry of reconciliation, and they're giving them the word of reconciliation. So then that person that I'm trying to help can go out and teach the ministry of reconciliation to somebody else, and they can teach the word of reconciliation to somebody else. Is there someone that we are transferring what we know from the Bible? The problem is many of us have not been learning anything from the Bible. They have not been reading our Bibles, and we had not been letting God teach us the things in the Bible, and we don't have anything to share. I know, you say, not everybody wants to know. There are some people that would love to have a conversation and talk to you about it. Encourage one another. So here's a couple of things. I know we're getting the priority of the ministry is tied to this. It's actually tied to the reconciliation. When Christ called his disciples to himself, he was calling out our first church. Shortly before Christ ascended into heaven, among his last words to that early church were, as my Father has sent me, even so will send I you. Now, did he send them out to do acts of service? Yes, they did acts of service. But why did Christ come? He came to reconcile the world. How is that going to happen? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing cometh by the word of God. And so we have to be transferring the things we know to somebody else. But we got to be right ministers, don't we? We got to be right with God. You wouldn't want me to go out and live like the world and live wickedly and like the devil and then come up and just preach on Sunday. There'd be no respect for that. And there are certain, like I said, we need to be careful. And it's not me to be your judge. It's not. That's why I say sometimes when I'm praying about, you know, somebody else as a younger Christian asking somebody, I ask the Lord and I let the Lord lead and follow me. So why did you pick that person? Why did you choose that? You know what? I let God do that. But we ourselves must say, am I in a spot where I can really truly help somebody with the things I've learned? Is my life my, we've been given this ministry. He didn't save us to have a priority of what we want. It's a priority of ministry. Let's keep on going. We got to get going. He says, even so sent I you. Jesus was sending them out. Jesus was sent to here for a purpose and a reason. That was a ministry of reconciliation. Now he's sending us out so we reconcile others. The privilege. And you say, okay, pastor, I get it. You're beating us over the head. This is something that's, humdrum. You're telling us we should. It is a privilege. And that's what Paul is saying here in these verses. He's talking about the love of Christ and how it's a privilege. And he's talking about how the change that God's made. And it is a privilege. The privilege of ministry is found in the fact that God has given us a specific ministry. He has given us all something to do. And he says, okay, I reconciled you in this relationship. Now I want you to go tell someone else how I reconciled you and how I restored this relationship. Now it is a privilege to go out. You know, I thought about it. The illustrations of one I was reading, one person said, if the president called you up and asked you to deliver a letter to somebody, most people say, sure, I'll do it. I it's a privilege that I can do anything. And sometimes people tell me, I tell them, thank you for doing something. And they're like, it's a privilege to serve the Lord. It's a privilege to do those things. But you think about it, the president asks you to do something. I don't know your thoughts on the president or not, but that's if somebody you have in high regard and high respect for asks you to do something. Would you do it? Most times, yes, I'll do it. It's because of who's asking. And that's what God is saying here in his word. God has given us a specific ministry. He has put us in a specific ministry. 1 Corinthians 2:12, that we walk worthy of God who have called you unto his kingdom and his glory. It's a specific ministry he's given you, and he's given us a specific office. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. Most of us know what an ambassador is, at least in today's. If someone's in America is sent over to another country to represent America and the affairs of America for that particular country, they are given a purpose. They're supposed to do something, and they're supposed to represent in the right way. Their job is not to go around pointing out all the errors of the other country. It's supposed to represent America and America's affairs. And when God has made us ambassadors, he says, I'm sending you now out to represent me. Now, if someone was an ambassador over in America and say an American ambassador went over there and they did something stupid. And we know some have. Some have come over here and done something stupid. Maybe said something stupid or maybe did something immoral, did something wicked or did something evil. What does that do? That makes a bad light on the American people. Well, God says, hey, I'm giving you an opportunity here, and you are not only given this ministry of reconciliation, the word of reconciliation. He says in verse number 20, now we are ambassadors for Christ. We actually represent Christ. He says, I am sending you out in this world just as President Trump sends an ambassador over to some country to represent the country. God said, I have given you a specific office. That office is to go out into the world and represent me with this word of reconciliation. Now, once again, there's nothing wrong with acts of service. Acts of service are really important, but is that our priority? Giving is really important. Faithfulness, really important. But are we transferring what we know from the Bible, that word of reconciliation, to somebody else? Are we being a good representative of Jesus Christ? Adoniram Judson was a great Baptist missionary. He ministered in Burma for 18 years without ever taking a furlough. In fact, he was in Burma for 6 years before he ever had his first convert. Many people did not think Judson was a success because he didn't have so many people saved. But it says Burma was a very hard place for Judson. He went through many difficulties and trials, which included having to take his wife and put her on a ship and watch her leave the harbor for England. his heart began to break, and he wrote in his diary, if only somehow we could have found some quiet resting place here on this earth, where we could have spent the rest of our days here in peace and from these burdens. His diary continued to say, but life is short, and millions of Burmese are perishing, and I am the only person on this earth who has attained their language in order to communicate for the truth of the Bible. He said, I must tell them the good news. And he wanted to be ambassador, even though it was hard. Now, once again, family is important. Family should be important to you. And there's a way to minister together. We should be sharing and transferring what we know from the Bible to our children. But it shouldn't just be our children. It should be to others also. Say, Pastor, there's no way in the world I could do that. I'm glad you said that, because there's a power of the ministry. And I know that, I don't know, you go back to the person you got saved under. Maybe the person who led you to Christ. And I think of the guy and the people that I grew up with and know now I'm older and I know them. I see that they're not perfect. Sometimes you go up there and you look at somebody and you watch him, hear him preach, and you're like, man, that guy's, he's doing a good work. He's this. But then you talk to him for a few minutes and you realize, hey man, this guy isn't a superhero. He's just a normal person. He's a Christian trying to live for God with the same struggle. Sometimes when missionaries come in, some people look at me, come to me after the service and say, man, they're a little peculiar. Well, you go try living somewhere else in another culture for 20, 30, 40 years and come back and act like the culture in America does. No, it doesn't work that way. He's like, well, how can somebody who speaks like that or acts like that or is kind of corny or whatever do anything for God? It's because they're not the ones doing it. It's the power of the ministry. It's the power of the gospel. You know, the times and opportunities I had to lead someone to Christ, it wasn't the fact that it was because I was eloquent at all. It was because of the fact that it was the power of the gospel that did that. And it's the same power of the gospel you have. It's the same power of gospel I have. It's just whether or not we're willing to take this reconciliation ministry really valuable. I know some people have ministries in their church, and some people are very guarded of that ministry. You better not do this, or you better not do that. And I know that doesn't really happen around here, but when I first got here, there was like, oh, we're never going to change this, or we're never going to do this. And I'm like, this is ministry, but what is the ministry? If we're trying to transfer the knowledge we have to somebody else, and it's not about us. It's about the power of the gospel and what the gospel can do and how the gospel can change your life. So it says, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God and the salvation to everyone that believe it, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. I want you to go back to that person to help you get saved that day. And I want you to think about it. Well, you know, that person was just a regular individual. Is it somebody we knew well and personally? You know what? It's probably somebody who had faults and someone who we knew was a sinner. And how in the world did they ever be the person that could ever show me how to be saved? It's because of the fact that they were just a willing servant. They probably wasn't the most eloquent. They probably didn't have this really flashy presentation. They probably didn't have some. It's God working through you. Now, should we be novices in the idea that we do not know how to win? No, we should, of course. We should be prepared, and we should have a know how to win people to Christ. That's one thing I think everyone should know, how to explain to someone else how to be saved. And they say, well, I don't know that. How long have you not known? Am I the best at it? I want to be better at it. But it's the power of God. It's the power of ministry. He have made us to be sin for us. Look what it says in verse 21. For he have made us to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. We weren't anything in this reconciliation process. He's the one that made us, and he's the one that can make us be fishers of men. It's the gospel that does it. The next thing I want you to think about, not only is the gospel, it's the Holy Spirit. You know, Acts 4:31 talks about the place was shaken, and when they were assembled together, for they were filled with the Holy Ghost. You think about the Peters and the Paul and the Peters and the Johns of the day. They looked at them and they marveled at the fact that they were unlearned fishermen. How in the world can they get up and preach that way? How can they know these things? These other guys had been through college and they had spent their whole lives training for the ministry, and they're unlearned fishermen. They had the Spirit of God in them. If you're saved today, we have the Spirit of God too. We can transfer our knowledge to someone else, the things we've learned. Just make sure it's the Bible. Make sure it's Scripture. Make sure it's about God's grace and God's ministry of reconciliation, teaching line upon line, precept upon precept. Sometimes people, they want to go out and they just want to tell everybody all the bad things and all the negative things they're doing and never ever encourage them or try to teach them something. You know what? That's a hard thing to listen to sometimes. We need to encourage and let someone know that we care, invest in their lives. And when something does come up, then you can turn around and say, you know what? This is something that I see that maybe can help. Ministry reconciliation, the word of reconciliation, we should be transferring our knowledge. We should be transferring the word of God to somebody else. The question, are we? You say, I don't have anybody that I can transfer the word of God. And then somebody else says, I don't have it. Well, teach one another then. Encourage one another with the things you've been learning, the things you've been growing from. When you know the preaching or word of God speaks to your heart, go and read those things and then say, you know what? You know, this is something I learned. This is something I thought was really good. He's given me a ministry. He's given me a job. Specifically, he has put me in a ministry. I know we think ministry, oh, it's a full-time ministry. No, he's given each of us an opportunity to minister the word of God to others, to share what we know to somebody else. Just, are we doing it? Some of us would say, not really. Then we probably don't have the right priorities. Should we provide for our family? Of course. Should we be good to our family? Of course. Should, is it wrong of having friends? No, the Bible talks about good friends. Is it wrong of having a little bit of fun? No. But if it stops us from being able to transfer our knowledge of the Bible to someone else, why did he give us this? Why do we know this? So we can transfer that to somebody else. Just think about our priorities today. Is this a priority? He says here, he has given us the ministry of reconciliation. He has given to us the word of reconciliation. What are you doing with those things? Are you sharing that with somebody else? And let me encourage you, be involved in acts of service. That's important. But also remember, share your word with someone else. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for today. Thank you for the people that are here. Lord, I do thank you for the ministry that you've put us in.